and we're having we have a lot of fog today. I looked out when I woke up, and I couldn't even. We live out in the country, and I couldn't even see the barn or anything else around us. So, and the fog hasn't lifted yet. So we have a foggy day today, but it's going to be a blessed day today here in the state of Missouri. Don't know quite what to say other than I'm really excited and feel blessed that I was invited to be a part of this group. And I can't think of anything that I would rather do than to be doing what you guys have been doing for some time now. So it's really an exciting time for me. A little overwhelming. I don't know if all of you felt overwhelmed when you started, but I certainly do, and I feel that that I have a lot of catching up to do. So I look forward to doing that. I'm retired. My wife and I are retired. In August the 4th, we will celebrate our 55th wedding anniversary, and we look forward to that. We have two children, but we have one granddaughter, but she has blessed us with four great-grandkids, so that keeps us busy doing a lot of things. I spent most of my career working in broadcasting at the radio stations throughout the country, and finally retired, and then I started my own advertising agency here in Jefferson City in Columbia, and have done that for the last 18 years. We finally turned that advertising agency over to our daughter and son-in-law, who, by the way, live right next to us. We have 18 acres out here, and so we've given each one of our children an acre of land. Angie and Kirk built probably 100 yards from us, and our son Chris lives in a train caboose behind us. so we can each sit on our decks and talk to each other. The only thing they know when I'm barbecuing, so they can see me do it and smell the smoke. So that I have to cook a little bit extra all the time. Anyway, really look forward to being a part of your group. Like I say, I'm a little bit unsure right now, but I know that God has sent it before me to do this and stretching me. And I was telling Summer that when I talked to her a couple weeks ago, that I was watching Dr. Jeremiah, and he made a point of saying that when did we start thinking that God sends us to safe places to do easy things? And so I thought about this quite a bit since being presented with this opportunity, and I look at it as a great opportunity. So I appreciate it, and I look forward to talking more with everybody and getting to meet everybody on the phone.
Wonderful. Thank you, Ted. And I know you've been praying with Pastor Jackson for quite a while, working on a number of initiatives with legislators. So we thank you just for your faithfulness and diligence over time, and we do look forward to getting to know you more. So thank you for being on today, and thank you for sharing. I'm, again, just going to say hello to everyone. Welcome, Leah Carowin, Angie Swigert, Ted Ballinger in Missouri, Marlene Tidwell in Tennessee, Mike Quarter in Kentucky, Pam Olson in Florida, Jessica Young, Bill Martin in Kentucky, Ryan McAdams in Virginia, Cindy new last name just escaped me. Apologize, Cindy, in Michigan. We have Jenny Caligiuri in Iowa. And, again, Debbie's at a legislative prayer breakfast. We have Pastor McIntosh that has capital prayer at the exact same time. And Abby as well in Pennsylvania that has capital prayer this morning. So we'll just give them an update in person. But thank you all for being with us. I'm going to turn it right over to Leah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Summer. And Ted, we are so glad and welcome you to our team. We're thrilled to have you. I can't wait to get to know you a little bit better and meet you at the summit, hopefully. So with that, I'm going to just update you on two things. I'm going to update you and talk about the summit and also talk about Project Blitz and the First Freedom Coalition. But first, before I go there, I just wanted to make sure all of you are aware that it has we are definitely moving forward with Congressman Forbes, and it's becoming official. We haven't announced it yet, but he and I have talked at length, and he is planning on becoming the president of the Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation. That is a big move for him. He was the founder of the Congressional Prayer Caucus. He's no longer in office, and he and I have been talking for a couple of months now about strategy. I've been updating him on the foundation where we are, and he feels very strongly that he wants to move in this direction and lend his credibility, his voice. And if you know anything about Congressman Forbes, he is one of the foremost strategists in the nation. He works with the highest level strategy for our military, our defense. He teaches strategy at two colleges, including the War College in Rhode Island, a very prestigious. He's an incredible man. He thinks strategically, and he wants to put his efforts and his strategy toward making sure that what we've started here at the foundation actually has a huge impact in changing the direction of this nation. And I just, again, met with him for another hour just before this call. We've had a couple days together down here in Florida, which was really fun. We met with the new Florida chairman as well as Pam Olson, actually both the new Florida chairman. We got a chance to meet Pam Olson and 100 businessmen down here in Florida. So we have been really are blessed to have Congressman Forbes. You're going to hear more from him. Much of what we are going to do going forward is going to be impacted by his incredible leadership. So we're thrilled to have him and be a part of it. So just to give you a quick update on the summit, really going to be an amazing summit this year. Please try to get your legislators here, encourage them, and make sure that they understand the summit starts Friday night through Sunday morning. If they can just come for Saturday and or Saturday, Sunday morning, Friday night, Saturday, they are going to hit the heart and soul of it. They're going to get the meat and potatoes of this summit and being here. It is worth it for them to, even if they can only come for that day. And we know a lot of people are in session, a lot of legislators, some are out, some are at the end, some will only be able to come for that amount of time. So please let them know that's going to be still worth coming all the way to D.C. for. We've expanded the summit this year. We've added a couple of things because we're in D.C. Thursday night, the members of Congress are in session, and they wanted to be a part of this summit more significantly. So we've been expanded to a Thursday night event. And right now it's a reception. We are trying to get some we've actually invited Vice President Pence. We're trying to get Pence there to speak Thursday night, which would change it dramatically to a dinner. We would have to then go to a dinner. But it's going to be a cool night, whatever we do. We're going to have, if not Pence, we're going to have some pretty cool people there, congressmen. And then Friday morning we're going to have a private prayer time in the Capitol with our Congressional Prayer Caucus members, state legislators, everybody that can be there. And then Friday all morning it's going to be a congressional briefing. Congressmen will be coming in and out. It'll be interactive. Our state legislators can all be having conversation and talking through strategy. And then Friday night starts our summit. Now, Friday day afternoon, there will be a series of receptions as well. We're going to have a special state director reception as well on Friday afternoon. And I think, don't quote me on this, but I think it's at 4 o'clock on Friday. And then, of course, Friday night starts our summit through Sunday morning. We wrap up around 10, I think, something like that. But you have all that in front of you. But I wanted you to know, too, to make sure that your legislators make sure they get these invitations. The most effective way is a personal invitation and for somebody to say you are coming and telling them how important and how incredible this summit's going to be. There are scholarships available for legislators as needed. Many of them can use their campaign funds. So it's not like we're saying, hey, we want to pay for all of you, because, again, we have to – that comes out of the foundation funds, and, you know, we're nonprofit and we're raising funds. We're trying to get sponsors this year, which we've never done before. We hope that will defray the cost, because this will cost us over $100,000 to put on this summit. So, but we don't want to let it, the way that we say it is, we do not want a legislator to not come purely because they don't have the finances. So if that's the case, we want to do a partial scholarship, we want to do a full scholarship. We want our legislators, especially the key legislators, we want them at this summit. So that's the thing, is if they say, well, I just don't know if I can afford it, I'd come otherwise, those are the people we want to get sponsored. And just to clarify, the sponsorship, we are more than happy to show you the sponsorship opportunities. Angie has the most recent version. In fact, I think Shirley's working on a newer version, so I'm not sure if that's been completed yet. But we're more than happy to send you the sponsorship opportunities. It is not like, you know, if you do a table sponsorship, that you can bring eight people to fill your table. That's not how this is. The sponsors are people that are sponsoring the legislators and you state directors and all the people that are going to be at the summit. Some business people will be there as well. At a certain level of sponsorship, we're basically saying, and you can come. We'd love for you to be a part of this because you're partnering with us in a significant way. So I just kind of wanted to clarify all of that and how the sponsorship and the scholarships and the expanded summit is rolling out. So any questions on the summit? Now, not logistical questions, because Summer's going to get into logistical questions about lodging and travel and registration and things for you guys, specifically your logistics. But any questions on the bigger picture of some of the things that I just talked about regarding the summit? I'll wait for a second to unmute if you have a question.
Yeah, Leah, this is Bill in Kentucky. Yeah. I have a question.
Hey, Bill.
Mike hadn't thought about this, but this just came to mind. We have a, let's see, how will I say it? He talking about Ken Ostrander, Mike. He runs a newspaper, let's say, a legislative newspaper that keeps the constituency in Kentucky most abreast of what's going on in our capital. His wife is a lobbyist for the Family Foundation, which is his organization. Would that be an organization that you would invite to come, or would they can't, they're not big enough to be a sponsor for anybody, but I could see that they would benefit from coming. So would your sponsor, scholarship have any play on people like that?
That's a great question, Bill. The short answer, even though it's a little abrupt, would be no. There's so many influential people in every single state and at the federal level. We really can't open this summit up to the broader group like that. This summit is unique, and these legislators know it because we have provided something that they don't have anyplace else, which is, they're coming together for strategy, this network, and these leaders. So it really is limited to the legislators, the state directors, the partners, the financial partners that are saying, we want to step up and actually help fund what you are doing, and then a handful of other people who are coalition partners with us that are fully engaged. We've invited some at the national level, but for the most part, we're not sponsoring any of those folks, any of the outside organizations. The only people that we're providing scholarships for are the legislators, because they're the only ones that we're saying, if you're not there, this is for you. This is primarily for you, and that's why we're scholarshiping them. We wouldn't be scholarshiping anybody else, and we aren't even really extending an invitation to anybody outside of what I basically just described, because there's a lot of people, I think, that would love to be at this summit. Now, case-by-case situation, we certainly might say, you know what, let's go ahead and invite this person. They'll have to pay their way, but that would be somebody we'd want to have here at the summit, and they'd be benefit. But we can't do that in every 50 states, so that's why it gets a little bit challenging.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to add to that, Bill, too. It dawned on me as you were talking, there might be some businessmen in your state that you have been wanting to get involved in what you're doing, and they would be willing to step up. I mean, we had a guy out in California who I really think he wants to see something going on in California, and he wants to come to the summit, and he's like, yeah, I'm a businessman. I will sponsor and come to this summit, find out what's going on so I can help advance something here in California. Well, that's the kind of person that potentially would say, yeah, come find out, but you're going to need to, be a part and sponsor, be a significant sponsor at the summit to come to it. So, because otherwise we can just talk to these people, outside of, and we can have conversations and go meet people. But does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for answering it so well.
Good, good. Any other questions specifically about that before I move to the project list? All righty. And we can always come back to this too. Summit, I know, Summer has some things to talk about on the summit, and I'm going to be on the call the whole time, so I can answer questions as they come up later. So just a quick update on Project Bliss. Let me just say, this has been really a significant and pretty exciting opportunity. I think many of you know that we do have a window of opportunity right now. We don't know how long it's going to be. We've talked to you all about the last couple of times about this Bliss that we have working with our state legislators. And essentially what we're saying is we have always sort of just committed to changing policies, changing, you know, trying to get some things advanced here or there. When we have an opportunity, we get people in and let's get a new law in, a new piece of legislation. But one of the things you need to understand about our organization is we're actually trying to do both. We're trying to change the architecture of how things are implemented and how things are advancing, and not just changing the policies. Because the fact is many of us have ideas. A lot of the Family Policy Council has ideas about what should be advanced in a state. Every legal defense group has a different idea of what should be advanced, what policies should be advanced. And legislators disagree on which policies should be advanced in a particular state. And by the time you get all these people together to agree on something, sometimes you've lost your window, and we wait, you know, sometimes we sacrifice the good trying to wait for the perfect. So what we're trying to do is create a mechanism or an architecture across the nation in which we have people in place, we have a network of government leaders, we have resources that we've already vetted for by all these different groups, all these policy groups and legislators. They've come together. So we, for instance, have put together a resource of a dozen different pieces of religious liberty legislation. We've classified them, the pros and the cons. If you try to put this forward, here's the pros of that, here's the cons of that. We put talking points together. Here's who's passed it in the past, here's how it's worked. And then we're also now working on the next step of that, which is really excellent, winsome language around religious freedom and even around some of these specific bills, but in general around religious freedom. So not only are we trying, have we built an architecture of the largest network of government leaders who are committed to God's place in America, prayer, religious freedom, both in the states and in Congress, but we've also now moved into creating the mechanisms and the resources and begin to work on the architecture of how we then, our architecture will last beyond the elections. And we've only just begun. I mean, we now have many other strategies that we're going to be putting into place. But I want you to kind of see this Project Bliss is not just a one-time, let's try to get as many policies forward. Now, that's the short term, but it has a bigger, a much broader strategy attached to it. And so it's very important. We're working with, about 30 states. We're tracking over 80-plus pieces of legislation. But we're building the architecture and the networks and the relationships and to continue to advance religious freedom this session and future sessions. So our coalition partnership is growing. Every state, we're starting to identify the key people. We're in a meeting this conference this weekend where we're going to be meeting with the dozens of our coalition partners. And they're saying yes. They're basically saying, you tell us, you know, how do we support these legislators and we'll get in the game. And the hardest part is always getting the car started and rolling. So we know that this is a, you know, we're starting and getting people rolling along. And as we get more and more momentum, it'll roll a lot faster even as the years go on. So I just kind of wanted to give you guys a big picture again of how important this is and why we're asking our state directors. It's for such a time as this. This legislative network's in place. Our state directors' feet on the ground. But sometimes too, just getting people to pray is the first step. And once they begin praying and caring, then you can oftentimes ask them to do the next step, which is pick up a phone or make an email, call an email, write an email, or show up, or you know, say something to the legislator when they see them. Now, let me just again give one last thing, and then I'm going to turn it over to Summer, and that is I want to talk about, again, our lien and our guidelines of mobilization. You know we're a 501c3. We've made it very, very clear that we have a lane. Our lane is religious freedom. Our lane is God's place in America, Judeo-Christian values. And again, just to remind everybody, we are the group that ensures that we protect the rights of all the other groups to ensure that they can continue to advocate for all of the things we care about. They continue to advocate for life and marriage and education and all the different things that we care so deeply about. But our organization and what we must continue to keep, because this is what makes us a trusted organization across the board, is that we are protecting your rights, which means we are protecting religious freedom. We're protecting the environment in which you can continue to advocate. And if we begin to advocate for those ourselves, we lose some of our credibility and some of the ability to pull people from both sides and also to have the voice that we have around religious freedom. So that's why that's our lane. And I get it. Three, 4 years ago, that lane was clear. There was no confusion. It's a very clear lane. But as soon as the LGBT thing agenda started to take place, that lane became blurry. And it was harder and harder to stay in our lane without interfering with some of the other social issues. But but we still have to navigate. So when we talk about some of these issues, if we cannot make a religious freedom argument, if we cannot connect the dots to religious freedom and why it's infringing, then we don't get involved with that. We let these other very capable groups take the lead on that. The second thing is our guidelines for mobilization. We're a 501c3. One thing you might not know, I don't advertise this. I don't try to explain this to everybody, but I want you all to know, 501c3s actually have an incredible amount of leeway to do actual lobbying, full-on, full-faced lobbying. We have between 6 to 16% of our resources can go to full-on lobbying. So, and when they say 6 to 16, that includes all the volunteer hours. That includes all the hours that all of our state directors put in. It includes all the hours, our staff, everything. And we're not even close, not even remotely close, by what we're doing through this coalition, Free Spirit Coalition and this Blitz, to even touch the limit of full-on lobbying that we could do. And what we're doing is not even full-on lobbying. So you see, what I just wanted you to know, we've talked to attorneys, we're good, we can do what we're doing. You can mobilize people around pieces of legislation and encourage them to pray over it and even take action. But the thing that we're doing, too, is that's why these coalition partners, we're not interested in being the advocacy group on the ground. Family policy councils, many churches, a lot of organizations have already sort of filled that space on the ground. And what we're doing is we're identifying them and working closely with them. So, for example, I'm with Paul Blair, and this is not typical. I mean, I can say in Virginia we're working with Family Policy Council, Victoria Cobb. They're fantastic. They're on top of it. They get their pages up for advocacy, and we just send out an email. Ryan McAdams does a great job, and Jessica and Summer work together. They send out an email that says, hey, pray, and if you want to take action, click here, and it takes you to the Family Policy page, the Virginia's policy page, where they have an entire action operation around that. Then we provide that to our coalition partners. So, Love 2020 or FRC or IFA, Intercessors for America, or these different groups that have nationwide impact, American Family Association, we equip them and say, here you go, send it out to your people in Virginia. That's how we're sort of expanding the reach of the policy council. But for instance, in Oklahoma, Paul Blair, they don't have a strong council, so Paul Blair, his church, he's the pastor of a church, and they're activists, and they've taken the point, and they work with these legislators. So he's our go-to on the ground in Oklahoma, and we do the similar kinds of things with him. But we find whoever it is that's the point on the ground, and they are, and then we just work with them, because every state has its own sensitivities, and we want to be very careful about making sure that we work with the people on the ground, and specifically we work with the legislators, because they're the ones that know what kind of support. And I'll close with this. Some states, as you know, want you to get the word out. They want widespread support. They want phone calls and media attention and interviews. They want a big splash around the legislation they're trying to do because they want people to know this is popular. Other states are saying, we have all the votes. We're going to get this through. Please don't draw attention to this because then you just bring out the enemy and all the people that are opposing. We don't need it because we're going to get this thing done. Just let us do it in a stealth way. So you can hurt if you don't aren't paying attention, and that's why we work so closely, have so many coalition partners, and that's why you state directors are so absolutely important as feet on the ground and ears, and why your networks and your relationships are so crucial is that as we build this architecture nationwide to do a lot of different things, advancing prayer, advancing policies, but also changing how the impact that we can have in the nation. That's why you're so important, feet on the ground. So with that, I'm going to wrap up. I took a lot of time. Thanks for letting me talk about all that. Summer, I'm going to pass it back to you.
Great. Before I transition, does anybody have any questions for Leah or anything that she just shared? Again, she'll be on the call, but I just want to make sure that anybody has an opportunity right now to ask.
Leah, in South Carolina, it's been great to see everything that you guys are doing to actually coalesce to a single voice, because from state to state and and really encouraging for us at the state level.
Thank you so much. I know you're kind of coming in and out. Did you finish what you were saying there? Did you have a question, or were you just thinking?
Carolina has a tunnel. Sorry, this is Dave from South Carolina, and I'm in a tunnel in Washington. So my apologies for breaking in and out.
Not a problem, Dave. Thank you so much. We appreciate all you're doing in South Carolina. I didn't hear a question in that, so I'm just going to say thank you so much.
I didn't know. What I was saying was we appreciate everything that you guys are doing to create for us the national coalition and coalescing effort so that we actually are at the tip of the spear in the local areas, have the tools and the resources we need, and know that it's also going on in other states. So thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And I hope you guys do stay really close, because these resources we're providing are really good, and we are shocked that people haven't started provided these before. These legislators are saying, oh, my gosh, I was just with the guy in Florida, Mel Ponder in Florida, and he said, that would have been so incredibly helpful. It's still helpful. That's exactly what I need. And we were able to hand him a 40-page document that gives him everything he needs to meet with his colleagues.
I thought even yesterday. And I'll say this from our state's perspective, Leah, our legislators are asking what's happening in, you know, being in South Carolina, they're asking what's happening in Georgia, what's happening in North Carolina, Virginia, Florida. So knowing what's happening in the other states allows us to have the resource backing to go back in. Well, they're doing this in this state, they're doing this here. They're doing this in Texas, and it really kind of helps us to be able to build that coalition capability. The question I've got is, is there any sort of polling that, because we get that a lot of times, is, well, where do people stand on these particular issues? Do we have anything that's specifically targeted around some polling, national or regional polling data?
Well, the short answer is yes. That's actually kind of where we're going. We've been working with the Barna Group, and we're going to be more specific about getting polling data. But we just pulled data from a 2-year project that Heart and Mind did, funded by McClellan Foundation, and we're now putting together a very short sort of synopsis of almost 40 pages that they've given us. I think of information that pulls together statistics and language and talking points and best ways to, but the keys to, providing a winsome language and argument around these religious freedom legislation and ideas. So we're compiling that now, and we hope to have that for you very soon. I think that will really help. And then, of course, our grid, which we've also are making available, I think it might even be online now that's available to you, where we're literally tracking all the bills across the nation. You can pull it up and say, well, oh my gosh, there's 7 states that are doing similar legislation around protecting communities or protecting counselors or whatever. So both of those resources either are ready online or are coming.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Very good. I'll just quickly expound on the bill tracking portion. That is, it's a big piece of what we're working on right now, and there are thousands of bills that are related to religious freedom out there. We're staying very, we're very much tracking like the RFRAs and the freedom of conscience and the upgraded RFRAs, as well as In God We Trust, and a number of bills. And it's something that we're, you know, we're identifying, we're, like I said, tracking on some level. There is a grid, as Leah mentioned. We're also trying to identify bills that are undermining religious freedom as well, as much as possible. And as we're in communication, we're trying to not only ask you all to ask your legislators what bills are coming forth in the state that are related to religious freedom. We will also provide a list of bills that are related to religious freedom. We do ask that you start tracking them on your state website as well. We're doing what we can to track and inform and engage and try to, you know, strategize as the states that need the most help. And again, a lot of it's based on what the legislators want. But if you all can also start tracking in your own state, so we give you the bill number or the legislators give you the bill number, you go to your state government website, plug in the bill number, you can actually do a bill list that provides notifications based on the status. So, again, just a really great way to stay on top of what's happening for purposes of prayer and or mobilization as needed. As Leah mentioned, we're continuing to build relationships. As you all continue to build relationships with the coalition partners in the state, and as the legislators approve a specific bill to move on or bills, then you can work together with these organizations to create campaigns and then drive people to their action page, since we don't necessarily have that tool yet, and we may or may not. But again, you can kind of just see how it all starts to work together to provide a really great way to make an impact. So that's a little bit more on that bill tracking piece. I'm going to jump back to the summit now. Just wanted to remind everyone that the CPCF will cover travel, lodging, registration, meals for the summit for all state directors only. We are, again, working based case by case on providing scholarships for legislators, but we do ask you to help us keep costs down by booking your flights early, and if you're driving, of course, we'll cover your mileage. You all are responsible for booking your hotel room and your travel. So you'd use your card. We'll pay for the room upon checkout, but as it relates to flights, you'll have to pay for that up front and then submit your reimbursement form after the summit. And that reimbursement form is located on the back end of the website. I'll also provide it on the follow-up email today, but just want to make sure you were aware of that. And Angie, you were going to share a little bit more about that as well.
Yes, just a quick note. We have gotten some recent interest from a few folks who are planning to come in to the summit early on Wednesday so that they can have some outside meetings and conversations with folks, and that is perfectly fine. That's exciting for us that you'll be getting into town early. There are a few logistical things we would have to address if that is something that you are planning. We have a very, very limited number of rooms that are reserved for the Wednesday night. We can expand that if we have indication from you that you would like to come in early. That night would not be part of the covered portion that the foundation is going to take care of for your stay, but we are working with the hotel to make sure that you have that room and can reserve it as part of your stay. There will be an increased charge for the Wednesday night. That is not part of the rest of our block for the rooms that are outside of what we already have reserved. So because we only have a few rooms reserved, if you would like to stay on Wednesday night as an additional evening for your stay, please let us know as soon as possible so that we can, one, extend our block as needed, but also make sure that everyone is on the same page regarding the cost and associated procedures.
Very good. Thanks, Angie. And again, just a heads up, go ahead, Leah.
I was just going to add one thing. I just wanted to make sure your state directors know if your legislators ask you, they are doing the same process that you're doing. They pay their own expenses. If they're getting scholarships and they need to fill out a form, fill out a reimbursement form, and then we're guaranteeing that they will get reimbursed within 30 days after the summit. So everybody's using the exact same process. We'll get them a reimbursement form, they pay, and then we reimburse them.
Yes, and again, this is the busiest season of the year, one of the busiest seasons of the year in D.C., so we do ask that you all would encourage your legislators to book their rooms as quickly as possible as well, because if for some reason we need to increase that room block, we need to do it as soon as possible, and that's, again, for the entire summit. So exciting. All right, well, a couple other things. If you missed the APCN meeting last week with Congressman Jody Heiss and Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler, as well as Representative Matt Krause, please let us know. Please let Jessica Young know. You can email her at jessicayoung@cpcfoundation.com, and she can send that audio to you. Also, now that many of the sessions are underway, you should have a better indication of who the new members are of the Legislative Prayer Caucus. If you would, please go ahead and send those to Jess and CC me so that we can make sure we get the database updated, as well as get them invites to the summit and get the website updated. Also, thank you for those that send details and photos of your events. I just want to continue to encourage everyone, if you would, to please send us details of some of the events that you're doing and photos. It's an encouragement for others to see, and also may end up being a highlight, say, of our newsletter or what have you. People are very encouraged when they see what's taking place in these states. So we thank you for your efforts, and we do appreciate you keeping us in the loop so that we can encourage others. All right, there's only 20 minutes left, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to the states. And for new state directors, this is a time where each state takes 2 to 3 minutes to give an update on efforts in the state as it relates to religious freedom. So I'm going to ask, I know Marlene had to jump off early, which I'm sorry about that. I was hoping to be able to hear from her. Let me go to Pam in Florida. Would you please give us an update there in your state?
Sure. Our session starts in 2 weeks, actually, a week from next Tuesday. And we have one religious liberties bill. There's still a couple of them. Our deadline's not quite there yet, and a couple of people were looking at some things. I'm not sure what they're going to end up doing yet. We have a school prayer bill that doesn't – it just re-solidifies, I think, is how I put it, existing laws. It doesn't really push it forward, but it does clarify some things, so that's a good thing. And the Senate has asked me to do the opening prayer on the opening day, which is very interesting because the Senate is usually always our most liberal between the two chambers, obviously, and I just think it's a God thing because we have a brand new In God We Trust motto up above the Senate President's podium in big letters like in D.C., and that they would ask me to do the opening prayer that day. I'm just really believing that God is going to do something this year in advancing the cause that we care for. So, and we've got some brand new former House members that are now in the Senate, so I'm pretty excited about that are very conservative and that have been part of the prayer caucus in fighting for religious freedom. So I'm excited about that. And if I could ask just a quick question I didn't get to ask about the summit with the hotel rooms, are we going to be rooming together? Because I am coming in early. I think I told Jessica that, and I've already booked my room. But is that something that y'all are going to take care of if we're rooming together and working that out on that end, or are we just getting our own hotel rooms?
Well, we may potentially, depending on the number of people that participate, we may have to ask those that were paying for their rooms to double up. So if that is
okay.
The case, yeah, then you book that one kind of separately, but then potentially be doubling up for
the actual. Okay, no, I've already booked it, so okay, that's fine. I just want to make sure. Okay, it doesn't matter. I'm pretty sure. Okay.
No, that's great. Thank you. I just want to, again, acknowledge your dedication to the Capitol. You're in there all the time. You're working with people on both sides of the aisle. Her heart has just been, it's been fun to watch Pam continue to cultivate relationships again with people on both sides of the aisle, breaking through some of the walls, if you will, that have kept them apart. So as a result, actually one of the bills that are going forth, it's going to be sponsored by a co-chair of the caucus and also someone who was a little bit resistant to Pam in the caucus in the beginning, but now is very much on board and it sounds like they're working together on some different things. So again, just thank you, Pam, for your dedication to continuing.
It was great having Congressman Forbes and Leah in town on Tuesday and meeting with our new directors of the caucus. So it really encouraged the new directors too. So thank you guys.
Very good. Yes, good. Good. Wonderful. Ryan in Virginia, I know you have just a short session this year, but you've jumped right in and made things happen. Would you please give us an update there in Virginia?
Sure. Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hello, everyone. Yeah, in Virginia, we're finishing our session on Saturday, and so we had two particular bills that were related to religious freedoms, a House bill and a Senate bill, and they have both passed, and they will be going to the governor's desk. We're praying for a miracle that he'll sign them, but chances are that they're probably going to be vetoed. But I think the legislation has really stepped up. There's been a lot going on as far as religious freedoms in Virginia. Even this year, the governor put forth an executive order that was basically an edict saying that any state contractors who are receiving funds from the state that were religious or nonprofit would have to adhere to same-sex transgender policies, and so they would have to open up their bathrooms to transgenders, et cetera. And so there's been, I think, a decent amount of pushback from legislators for that. The speaker, who's a strong Christian, he's actually retiring now, but he came forth with a strong statement, and then these two bills are really a response to what the governor did, and that was in early January, right at the beginning of session. So I think that there's progress there. We really need a Republican governor, I think, to push forward more legislation for not just religious freedoms but our conservative values here in Virginia. So as far as our role, I think that we've had – made a lot of progress. Obviously, you know, I'm just kind of getting into the game here in the Capitol beginning in January, so it's a big learning curve for me. But the good thing is, too, is that the speaker, who is retiring, who is a strong Christian, but he wasn't a part of the prayer caucus, is being replaced by the majority leader, who is a part of the prayer caucus. In fact, he's Delegate Kirk Cox. He's the one who allowed us to use his office in the Capitol for our prayer meetings on Monday morning. So it's exciting that he's going to be the speaker, and hopefully that'll also give us you know, more of a voice and influence in the House, at least. So I think things went really well. We had awesome, as far as I'm concerned, I think it was a really good start, and I think that there was a lot of good relationships built. But my focus now is going to be to try to focus on mobilizing more support in the churches and trying to come up with a strategy to get into churches to get the churches awakened and aware and engaged and really pushing for this. This election in November is going to be very critical in Virginia for the governorship. We're one of the few states that have come an off-year election, so there's going to be a lot of money pouring into Virginia. So anyways, I could go on, but that's pretty much the update.
Thanks, Ryan. You also have been faithful in building relationships. You jumped right in, started prayer in the Capitol, cultivating relationships with the legislators. You can tell there's a trust factor there as they're, you know, coming to you on a more personal basis, which is great. Also building relationships with large networks in the state, identifying who they are, getting to know them, as well as even some big players like Regent, who's gone down to Regent and trying to find ways that they can work together and potentially get them behind the caucus, which it sounds like it is happening. So again, Ryan, thank you for jumping in. I know there's much more on your heart, and it's exciting to see. We're here to help you make that happen. Very good. And Donna, I don't mean to – thanks, Ryan. I don't mean to – Donna, did you just jump on?
I did. So
okay.
Sorry.
Wonderful.
We've got to get
this email
thing figured out.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for being on. And I don't mean to just put you on the spotlight, if you will, but would you mind sharing a little bit about some of your Kansas efforts, and specifically the Kansas Coalition call that we did there?
Yes. Well, we have, you know, we're having quite a mess right now here in Kansas in regard to a lot of other issues. And we had a situation where we lost 23 conservatives in our primary, and then still more in the general. While the whole nation seems to be going right, unfortunately, Kansas is going left, and it's because of just the media bias against Governor Brownback's Christianity, and his faith is so out there that they're just sickened by it, and also his conservative economics, and also, of course, he's very much supports religious liberty, school choice, and all these other things. But there's a Student Privatization Act that we're working with Family Policy Alliance of Kansas, and they had a conference call with some intercessors. I've been working with intercessors here in the state for, well, almost 25 years, but as on the capital level, like, you know, that's only been since 2008, so about 8 years. So we have intercessors in the capital, and the Congressional Prayer Caucus meets, and I'll just tell you, the meeting we had Tuesday was so difficult that as far as what's going on here is I had purchased a pencil drawing of Daniel and a lion. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And I picked it up there at the Capitol because it was done by a young man who lives in Topeka. And I was so glad that I had it because these legislators were so down because there was, you know, they're just getting so many things that has been conservative in Kansas over the last 2 years are just being flipped. And so it's just a huge uphill battle in Kansas where in years past when we had more Christians and believers and conservatives, it was just the opposite and it was going in a good direction. But, well, I don't know if you went all that, but the petroleum levels went down across the nation and then we had an exorbitant crop. But in the 1960s and 70s, wheat was selling for $4 and $5, and now it's down $3 and under. So anyway, that's just kind of a broad brush prayer request for Kansas. But we are working, Congressional Prayer Caucus and my organization, Culture Shield, we're working with the Family Policy Alliance of Kansas and the pro-life people, and I mean, we all get together once a week after the Congressional Prayer Caucus meeting and brainstorm on how we can support one another. And but that call was good. It brought some new people, a team of 11 pastors in Lawrence, Kansas, the most liberal county in our state, are now engaged, and they're ready to go. And so we also are going to be having, and I hope this is okay, Summer, in regard to the Black Robe Regiment, which is trying to get Christians and pastors involved in the political arena. We're going to be having a webinar for pastors across the state, and David Barton's group, the National Black Robe Regiment, is going to have a webinar for us that will last approximately an hour to an hour and a half with Mark Gonzalez. And so we're trying to build the church's involvement in not only religious liberty, but everything that affects our state and our culture.
Very good. You know, thank you, Donna.
That was a lot more information than you wanted, probably.
No, it's wonderful. I appreciate all that you're doing there. I know you've worked very, very hard, tireless hours in working with the governor and different ones to really make sure that Kansas goes the right way, and it is making a difference. And I'm just thankful that you're there, that you have so many connections, and we are standing with y'all and look forward to finding other ways that we can support your efforts there. So thank you for joining us today. It was great to hear from you.
Thank you.
Very good. We have just 8 minutes left, and I know there's many, many states that are doing a number of things. Illinois has a big event coming up. Connecticut's working on a legislative prayer breakfast. Mike and Bill, do you want to give us a quick update in Kentucky? You guys have so many things going on. Great things, including I know you all had a presence at the Christian Day at the Capitol. If you would just give us a quick update, that would be great.
Mike, are you there? Yes, not.
It shows,
can you hear
it shows
me?
He's still
right.
On, but yes, it shows he's still on, but he okay. may have taken a call or something. But anyway, if you, yeah.
Go ahead, Bill. Go ahead. I'm on.
Oh, there.
You go ahead, Mike. You're more informed than
no.
I am. Go ahead.
I knew you were going to say that. We've had a good year, and we are looking forward to finishing up. We've had a 30-day session this year, so we've only, I don't know what day we're on, probably 18 or 19, so there's not a lot of time left. We meet twice a week with the prayer caucus. We'll meet today with them a quarter minutes before they gavel in. We've had our call to prayer early in the session. We had Christians at the Capitol Day, about 800 people. Bill and I both participated in that, leading tours. Lots of homeschoolers and folks that had not been to the Capitol before showed up. It was a great event. We had a table and got to speak to a lot of people and listen to some excellent words. We are just blessed in this state. Senate Bill 17 that we've been tracking was a bill to religious liberty in speech, in speech in schools, public schools. Did pass the Senate, and it's in the House. I lost track of it. Everybody lost track of it. In fact, the Republicans lost track of it. They just didn't actually officially receive it for some weird reason. They just apologized. And it languished for a week. We didn't know where it was. Well, they finally recognized it. People started talking about it, and it was put in the Education Committee yesterday. So we'll get a good look at that, and hopefully that will pass. There's another bill that will allow for sort of kind of a literacy bill that allows for teaching Bible as a literacy course. We're hoping that will get a good look in the Senate and the House before time closes. And those are the liberty bills that are immediate. There's a conscience bill, of course, and life bills that are going forth that are always exciting. Not something we relate to directly, but we are definitely on track praying with the Family Foundation for those bills and supporting them. So we're just having a really excellent time here, meeting with a lot of senators. We're really hoping, Lee and Summer, that this works out well for us to attend with several representatives from Kentucky. We simply are doing a lot of personal one-on-one invitations in their office, praying with every one of them, listening to their issues, personal and in business, and getting to know a lot of folks. It's just a delight sticking with this over 5 years has made such a difference. And of course, this year is special for us with a change of House, Senate, and Executive Branch. So that's really it in a nutshell. Been great.
No, thank you. And again, I just want to remind everyone that they didn't start out this way. It was very challenging in the beginning. They had a great launch event, but then it was challenging to kind of get up and off the ground. But Mike and Bill stayed in it, and now I mean they have tremendous. They've seen just a turn in the House, as you said, the House and Senate, as well as the Executive Branch. They have a governor that just proclaimed the year of the Bible this year, and just a number of bills that are pro-religious freedom, pro-conservative values. So, again, they have bearing a lot of fruit, he said 5 years staying in it, going faithfully down to the Capitol, continually just praying, meeting with other prayer networks and organizations, and building relationships and staying faithful to strategize with all of them as well. So thank you, Mike and Bill. It's always great to hear from you all. And again, just
Summer,
a few minutes left. Yes.
Summer, can I go next? This is Joel in Nebraska.
Yes, Joel, please.
We have a new chairman in Nebraska. I talked with
we do?
Senator Yes, we do.
Wonderful.
I went onto the floor, and I talked with Senator Watermeyer this morning. This is why I came on late. I talked with him. I asked him where he was at on it, and he said that he just feels God calling him to do this. And so I said, does that mean that you're going to be the chairman? And he said yes. So he's on board.
That's
Senator
wonderful.
Watermeyer is on board.
That is wonderful news.
Yes, and we're going to have to move slow. You're aware of the sensitivity of this in Nebraska. We're probably not going to get much done this year. Our session ends in May anyway. We're going to have to move slow this year. Our plan is to organize over the summer and be up and running full steam for next year. So I'll be meeting with Senator Watermeyer over the summer to really get things up and going. Because of the delicacy of the situation, we just don't feel it would be wise for us to move this year. Senator Watermeyer is not going to be able to come to the summit. He's a farmer, and he's going to be planting, and his daughter is going to be getting married around that time. So he's not going to be able to come to the summit. On another note, yesterday was a huge day in Nebraska for us. We have one bill that's a religious garb bill. It allows people, teachers in schools, to wear whatever religious garb they want to. And this bill has made it out of select file yesterday. So there's a very high chance that this bill will get signed into law. At the same time, in another committee in the afternoon, a transgender bill was heard, and of course, people showed up in force, and the hearing went well into the evening. There's a 50-50% chance that that bill will make it out of committee. I'm convinced, though, that it'll die once it gets out onto the floor. I don't see that bill really going anywhere. Now, while both of these bills were being heard yesterday, our homeschoolers were here, so they got to see the whole process, and that was kind of neat to behold. And my senator, Senator Erdman, addressed the homeschoolers, and that was fun to see as well. So lots of good things happening in Nebraska this month for a change.
Yes, great news, Joel. Thank you for making sure to share that information. And I do want to follow up with you afterwards, or I'll email you or what have you, about some possibilities since he can't come to the summit. So very good. Thank you, Joel. Thanks for staying in it with us. And
I,
again, I know.
Call him. He wants you to call him.
Okay. Well, we'll make sure. We'll probably have Leah do that, and we wanted, or I could. We'll figure all that out. Thank you
okay.
so much, Joel.
Yeah.
Because Jenny and Sharon have not been on in a while, I just would love to hear your voices. I don't know if you all can just give a 2 minute. I know we're at 11 o'clock, but I want to give an opportunity. So, Jenny, do you have anything you want to just quickly share with us?
Good morning. The thing that's going on here, we do have something with religious liberty coming. I saw a form of the bill, but it wasn't the ending bill. And I know there's a family leader has been the one working with the legislators. I know Senator Good, one of our senators, I spoke with him last week, and he was introducing it. They're trying to keep it kind of low-key. To be honest with you, everything is life and conception is going to be debated in the Senate on Monday. Everything is so, because we have not had the Senate in 20 years in our state, they are really coming out in full force against abortion, defunding it. That seems to be the big issue. Also, the union stuff we just had, we had people bust in from all over last week, so our legislators have been pretty worn out. But we do know the Attorney General is on board with the religious liberty, but what they're trying to do is get the larger players in the marketplace on board for this to pass so it doesn't die. So I'm not really sure when that's going to come to the floor. Our funnel is March 3rd, so everything has to get to committee before that point. We're just rallying people from all over the state and all these issues to come and pray and stand with our legislators. So, and I don't know about our legislators coming because it's such an intense session. It's going into week two, sometimes weekends with some things and overnight and all kinds of issues with the legislation that's being put forth. But I will let you know as soon as I know something on the religious liberty, what's taking place on that.
That sounds great. We'd be happy to send something out to the database because, as you know, as everybody knows, there's quite strong networks built up in your state, so we want to make sure to keep them engaged and informed as well. Thank you, Jenny. Thanks for staying in it. Glad you're feeling better. It's wonderful to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Sharon, I don't want to put you on the spot, but just want to give you an opportunity to share if there's anything you wanted to share in North Carolina related to religious freedom.
Hi, everybody. It's great to hear your voices. Love all your states. Maybe I'll just share one thing that happened here that might be a heads up in case it would happen in other states. We're getting a little more attention probably because of the announcement about Congressman Walker. But during a few weeks ago, I got an email from somebody I didn't know, and I didn't have time to deal with it just because of the event preparation and all that. But it was an email from someone in one of the cities in the state asking to be to become a part of what we were doing and all that, and none of us knew her. But just investigating through Facebook and then other sources, what we found out is that this person is definitely not a like-minded person. They're at best an inquirer from the left. This is somebody who's politically active and has run for local office on the opposition. And so at best, it would be that type of an inquiry. And at worst, the person might be a plant. So anyway, it was an opportune moment for us because we're just beginning to expand into these regions. So I'll just give you a heads up on that. It let us know that we really better find out who's writing to us.
Yes, very good, Sharon. Thank you. We agree. We continually filter, and we recommend everybody be very careful who they allow into their network. I know sometimes it's challenging, but thank you, Sharon, for sharing again, just taking that extra step of checking background as much as possible, even having the conversation to find out. You can tell right away usually if somebody is like-minded or just trying to find out information. So very good. Thank you, Sharon.
This is Donna. I got just one comment that I wanted to know if everybody in the state and the other states are well aware of James Garlow's book, Well Versed. They've all been paid for every one of your legislators and senators by a benefactor to James Garlow. And we just distributed all 165 yesterday in Topeka. So they are for your legislators. They are free and already been paid for. They will even pay for the shipping for them to be sent. Did you know about that, Summer?
I did. I know Jim Pastor Garlow really well, so I did know about that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I read his book, actually.
Can I jump in right here? I want to jump right in, Summer, regarding that. And thank you so much for distributing those. I want all of us just, and I don't mean to throw cold water on that, I'm a friend of Jim Garlow's. They came to us and said, would you distribute these through the foundation? And I said, no, we wouldn't. Let me just caution everybody about, again, remembering who we are, the Congressional Prayer Caucus and the foundation. David Barton, and let me start with this, David Barton, whom we love, he's one of our most powerful coalition partners. We work with him behind the scenes in everything. He came to us at the beginning and he said, Leah, Randy, make sure you do not partner and you do not align yourself with me or any organizations like me or any of these various people, because our enemies become your enemies. The congressman, the legislator said to us, please, Leah, do not endorse books, do not endorse movies, do not sign on. I've been asked to endorse so many books and to distribute. I get requests to distribute dozens of people's books that think they, if it just would end up in the hands of your government leaders, it would change everything. Not trying to throw cold water, but basically, again, remember who we are. We are not a mechanism to distribute various things. That's why we work so hard to put our own resources together, because those legislators, if they have any issue with Garlow, with wall builders, which they do, many of them do, then we just associated ourselves and went to a completely different place. We are actually working really hard to become an organization that is its own unique mechanism and vetting opportunity of all those different things. So, again, I'm not upset at all. It's not a problem that you distributed them. But just be careful if you could just check with us, because we don't, as a foundation, distribute other people's resources, nor promote them, nor sponsor them, even the best ones that are out there, even ones that have been written by legislators themselves. As I go to the congressman, I go to the various legislators, they said, you've got to be extremely careful. And we only distribute the stuff that we've put out. So just wanted to
Throw well, that's
out
good
there. I don't
to
know
that,
talked about that. Yeah.
We didn't do it under Congressional Prayer Caucus, but maybe somebody, another organization, we did it just from James Garland.
And
they didn't even know
and
who
that's
we were.
Great. Yeah, and that's totally great, totally great. And I, again, thrilled. Thrilled
okay, that's
you.
Good to know.
So, yeah. Just overarching policy.
Okay.
Great. All right. Thank you. I know we've stayed over. In closing today, if we could pray for Marlene's brother, he is struggling with his health. So if we could pray for him. Ted, would you mind closing us out in prayer today?
I will do. What is her brother's name?
I'm so sorry. I actually do not know. I should have asked.
Father, we just come to you today. We thank you for every individual that's taken part in the phone calls today. Father, we thank you for all the work that your people have done in your name, working for you, Father. So, Father, we thank you that you're with us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us, that you meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And you give us our daily bread each day, that you send your angels charge over us to watch over us and protect us, Father. We thank you for all that you do for us. And, Father, we thank you for giving courage to our legislators, giving courage to our people out there working in the capitals so hard. Father, we just ask that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear as you did Nehemiah when he heard the enemy coming and he saw the enemy coming. He armed his workers on the wall. We thank you, Father, for speaking to us, guiding us, and directing us. Father, we thank you that you protect us. We thank you, Father, that you give us courage. We thank you, Father, that you go before us. And, Father, I'm reminded of the story of Jehoshaphat when he had the mighty armies coming against him. So he called to fast and pray for his whole kingdom. And Father, you sent word through a young prophet named Jehazel, which said, "The battle is mine," which you told the elders and Jehoshaphat, "The battle is mine, saith the Lord." And you sent out the armies. But before the armies, you sent the prayer warriors, and you sent the musicians and the praisers, the worship team. And when they got to the battlefield, the enemy had destroyed themselves. So, Father, we just ask you to go before us and fight our battles for us. And we know, Father, that you have our back. You watch us, that the enemy doesn't sneak up on us and lie, steal, or kill. We thank you, Father. Now just be with each and every person that was on the phone today. Guide them and direct them. Speak to them, Father. May your thoughts and your words come out of their mouths, Father. And, Father, we just thank you for blessing each and every person and blessing each state. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ted. I'll send a follow-up email.
I want to just wrap up and say just thank you to every single one of you. And also, just to remind you, I don't expect all of us to know how to navigate these waters. So, I know that sometimes I, just kind of jump in with instruction. I hope that wasn't offensive, and if it was, I apologize. We have such a short time to equip, to train, to discuss these things. So thank you all for being so patient and for working. And sometimes, we're just figuring it out as we go. And so I just want to thank every one of you for being in the battle, for figuring it out with us as we go, for trying different things, for jumping in. It's exciting what's happening. It's very, very exciting. And the unity and the spirit of Christ and the willingness to jump in is just overwhelming and wonderful. So thank you all so very much for being in the battle with us.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, thank you all. And I will send a follow-up email. We'll have the audio from the call as well as that reimbursement form. And then, if you know, we can definitely have more conversation around anything that was discussed today. But we do appreciate you all so much. God bless you, and we will be in touch soon. Have a great day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Summer, are you there? Summer?